She survived 9/11. At her own testimony, she was in the break room when the plane hit the building and the glass shattered everywhere. She went down below finally to the mall in the bottom area, and she survived that. So why does she care what happens to anybody else? She made it. She survived. So why does she care? Because God put that inside of her, the desire to tell others what Jesus Christ has done. That's the motivation why John is writing 1 John. So return with me, if you'll go again, to 1 John. And let's look at what John is trying to help us to understand. The book of 1 John, not St. John, but the book of 1 John. If you find the book of Revelation and go backwards four books, you'll find 1 John. Now please, if you don't have a Bible with you, you don't have it on your phone, there's a Bible in front of you. I want you to see the words of God clearly this morning. Follow along with God's word to us, because this word applies to every single one of us. Just like it applied to her, it applies to you, and it applies to me. 1 John chapter number 1, John starts out and says, "That which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Now, how in the world do we know 9/11 happened? None of us were there at 9/11. None of us were there in New York City on September the 11th, 2001. So how do we know it took place? We say, "Brother Brian, we've seen the videos. We've seen the evidence by photos. We have eyewitnesses by that lady." But how do you know it really took place? Because you weren't there. Because we trust what they are telling us. So how do we really know that Jesus did leave heaven? How do we know that Jesus was born? How do we know that Jesus did walk on this earth? How do we know that Jesus did die and was buried and rose again? How do we know that? Because we believe what the Bible clearly teaches us. And if you believe what the Bible clearly teaches and understand it, then guess what? This is the way of salvation, knowing what the Bible tells us. You can't cherry pick it. You've got to say, "Yes, I believe it," or "No, I don't." You can't say, "Well, I believe this, but I don't believe that." It's impossible to be saved if you do not believe that the Bible is true. Okay? So John is saying, "I saw the word of life, I heard the word of life, I handled the word of life, I saw everything he did, I heard everything he said, I was with him when he died, I was with him when he arose, I was with him the whole time." And he says, "So because of that, I want to share with you how you can have that same experience with him." See, it's not going to be possible. Well, God can do anything. Jesus Christ could show up bodily right now on this platform and be and walk amongst us. He could do it because he is God. Now, is he going to do it? I can't predict that, but I can tell you probably not. But he is here in his word right here. This is a living word. And we can know him and have fellowship with him. So John says, "I saw all these things happen." Why did these things happen? Verse number 3. He says, "That which we have seen and we have heard, we declare unto you." We saw it, so now we want to tell you about it. He says, "That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you have written it, not only using human hands, but you have written it on our hearts, and you have manifested yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I know it's impossible for us to have salvation in any other way but through Jesus Christ. I realize and understand what the Word of God does to us and through us and in us. And I'm asking you, Father, right now that you would hide me behind the cross. I'm asking you, Father, that you would take your Word right now and so infiltrate it in our souls that we would genuinely want to have fellowship with you. God, you are the only hope we have. And I'm asking you, God, right now that you would do miraculous work. That, Lord, you would manifest your glory. And that, Father, you would just use me as an instrument for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So John is saying that in order to have fellowship with God, you've got to have fellowship through Jesus Christ. Look what he says here in verse 3. He says, and that you also, you may have fellowship with us, though, who is us? Those who have seen and those who've trusted Jesus Christ our Savior, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That word fellowship is a very interesting word. It means to walk hand in hand in total agreement with. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you in fellowship with God today? Are you walking with Him? He walks with me and He talks with me. That old hymn goes. Are you walking with God this morning? Say, Brother Brian, I wake up every day and I walk with God. I have fellowship with God. Well, how do you have fellowship with God? By your good deeds? Do you have fellowship with God because you're a good person? Or do you have fellowship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? You cannot have true fellowship with God by anything that you have done. If the only thing that you have done is deserve to go to hell, you deserve to have no fellowship with God on your own. But it's only through Jesus Christ that we can have true fellowship with God. Gentlemen, you remember when you first started dating your wife, how sweet it was to hold their hand? Some of you guys are sleeping. You remember, fellas, reaching for the very first time, the electricity you felt when you held their hand and you walked and you smiled and you were holding hands and you were proud. You were going to put that hand up and say, look, I've got someone right here and she really likes me. And you had that fellowship one with another. She wasn't walking ahead of you. She wasn't walking behind you. She was walking beside you. And it was evident that you guys were in fellowship one with another. But then struggles come. Don't touch me. There's always something that comes between the two of you, and that fellowship is broken. And you long to have that fellowship back because there's just something about holding the hand of someone you dearly love. That fellowship and that sweet, sweet love. Brothers and sisters, do you have fellowship with God this morning? Look what John says. He says, and that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God wants us to have joy in life. God doesn't want us to walk around with frowns on our faces. God doesn't want us to walk around saying, oh, woe is me. I'm a Baptist. I don't have to smile. I can't smile because I want to be miserable. No! God wants you to have joy. And the greatest joy we can have is to have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. So here's the great news, folks. When you've got that fellowship established with God through what Jesus Christ has done, you never lose that fellowship. Now, there's times that it's broken as far as you don't understand and realize that He's right there, and sometimes our relationship with Him isn't when we ought to be, but I praise God He never stops being our God. And John says, I'm writing these words unto you. I'm sharing the message from God Himself that your joy may be full. You cannot have joy outside of the fellowship of God. Everything else is temporary. Have you ever had temporary joy? Anybody have temporary joy before? It lasts 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe a minute, maybe 5 minutes of joy, but then it's gone. When you're in fellowship with God, it's an everlasting joy. So John says, we're writing these things unto you that you can know that you have fellowship with God and that you can have joy. Now here it is, verse number 5. Here's where it gets to the bottom line. Now pay very close attention because I'm afraid that some of you are not in this position he's talking about here. Verse number 5. This then, with all of that said, this is the message that we have heard of him, he said. He said, we sat around and he taught us this message. We heard this from him, and he says, and now we declare it unto you. He says, now, you understand what fellowship is. You understand that we intend for you to have joy. We understand that God intends for you to have joy by having fellowship with him. He says, this is the message then that you need to understand when it applies to. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. There is no darkness in him. If there's darkness in your life, you can know that is not God. If you have light in your life, that only can come from God. Let me ask you a question. Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in light? When you're walking in light, you have fellowship with God. If you're walking in darkness, your fellowship with God is not where it needs to be. Now you say, Brother Brian, define darkness for me so that I can know what darkness really is. I'm glad you asked me that. But let me show you what the Bible says darkness is, not my definition of darkness. Turn to the book of Galatians really quick. Let me describe what the Bible calls darkness, the absence of light in somebody's life. Darkness is Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5 describes what darkness is. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Now, this is God's definition of darkness. And if you want to have fellowship with him, you need to know Jesus Christ your Savior. And if Jesus Christ your Savior, you will not have this type of lifestyle that is being described here in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Paul writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The Spirit and the flesh. Light and darkness. Do you want to live in the Spirit? Capital S. That signifies the Holy Spirit. If you want to live in Him, then you're going to live in the light. But if you're going to live according to your flesh, it has darkness attached to it. How many of you are following so far? How many of you are asleep already? See a couple of you. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate your honesty this morning. He says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You say that you're walking in the Spirit, your life is going to be in the light. But if you're walking in the flesh, you are walking in darkness. Verse number 18. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, the darkness, are manifest. These are the manifestations of walking in darkness. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. It's got nothing to do with not taking a bath, okay? Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That is darkness. That is dark living. That is walking according to the flesh and walking in darkness. And if you're walking in that darkness, if that's an examination and a definition of what you're living, you are walking in darkness. And you don't have fellowship with God. You say, well, Brother Brian, I do this and I do that, but I'm really saved. Wrong! If this is your lifestyle, that is according to the flesh, and that is darkness. I'm sick and tired of people claiming that they're walking with God, yet they're living that way. You look at me like I'm an idiot now, some of you. Am I telling you what the Bible says? This is the flesh here. This is darkness here. Young people, pay attention. Old people, pay attention. Middle-aged people, pay attention. Good people, looking people like me, pay attention. That's lying. This is examples of walking in darkness. How many of you recognize this is darkness? How many of you recognize it? How many of you are sick and tired of people claiming to be born again, yet this is their lifestyle? How many of you are sick and tired of that? How many of you are sick and tired of looking at somebody in the mirror that claims to be born again, but this is their lifestyle? If the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now of that lifestyle, you need to do business with God. Not with me, with God. Now go back to 1 John. Okay, so he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, who? Of God, of Jesus Christ, and we declare on you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None of those things that I just got through reading that John writes has anything to do with the light. It is pure darkness. And if that is a person's lifestyle, they are not walking in the light. Because look what it says in verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, who is him, English majors? That word him is a pronoun. And what is that pronoun referring back to? Who? Jesus Christ. If you say that you're walking in fellowship with him, if I claim to be walking in fellowship with him, it says, if we claim that, if we say it, and we walk in darkness, we are telling a white fib. I'm just telling a little fib. It's just a little bitty white lie. A white lie is just deadly as a dark lie. Are y'all sleeping already? It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, Galatians chapter 5, if we say that, we are lying and we do not the truth. Did I write that? Who does that apply to? Take your finger. Everybody take your finger. Just a little out of my... Take your finger and do this. Who does it apply to? Me.
not your neighbor, not your preacher, even though it does apply to me. It applies to me. If I say I am walking in the light, and I'm claiming to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and fellowship means walking hand in hand in total agreement. Amos 3:3 says, who can walk together except they be in agreement? If I'm claiming this relationship and I'm living completely opposite of it, I am a stinking liar. But if we walk in the light, you say, Brother Brian, what is the light then? You've shown us the darkness. So what is the light? I'm very glad you asked that question. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you what the light is. I'm glad Paul didn't just leave it with the darkness. He gives us the descriptions all the way down to verse number 21. He tells us the description of darkness. He tells us the walking in according to the flesh, which is in the darkness. But look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and if you want it in your Bible, write the word light right next to that, because the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the same as Jesus Christ, the light. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, those that have true fellowship with Jesus Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we say we are living in the Spirit, we're going to walk in the Spirit. It is impossible, when you're in right fellowship with God, to live according to the flesh and live according to the darkness. It's impossible. You cannot have true fellowship with God and live that way. But then he says, if we walk in the light, verse 7 of 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How do we establish the right fellowship with God? How do we get that fellowship the way it needs to be? Through your good works and paying enough money. Through coming to the preacher and paying me to pray for you. That's how you establish this right relationship. And if you believe that, you need to go somewhere else. How do I establish this fellowship? One way and one way only. Through Jesus Christ's blood. Not through my actions, not through my words, not through anything that I have done. It is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You admit your sin to God. God, I'm a filthy, nasty, depraved sinner. I cannot save myself. I am not walking in the light. I'm living in darkness, and I acknowledge it, and I hate it. Please forgive me. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior so that I can walk in fellowship with you the way you intended me to do it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let me ask you a question this morning. Now, I'm not talking about dabbling into darkness. We do that. But if you're living that way, and there's no conviction about you, well, I know the modern translations call this and call that, and they don't really say that that's a sin anymore. Garbage! If this calls it a sin, it's a sin. I don't care what some philosopher or some doctor, it's a sin. And it takes away your fellowship with God. I'm so sick of it. It makes me want to puke. Society telling us that this is acceptable. No, it's not. It's killing us. It's destroying us. I'm begging you, stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Stop listening to the lies. Get back to the truth. I don't care if it's a well-meaning Christian or not. This is the truth. Why did that lady who survived 9/11, why does she still tell people that only righteousness is found through Jesus Christ? Why does she care? Because that's the message that was given to her, and that's the message that is the only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Why do I care? I'm going to heaven, so why should I care about you? Why do I care if you go to hell or not? Why do I care if our community goes to hell? Why do I care if people believe the lie? What's the big deal? Because the love of God resides in me. And I want to walk in the light. And I want to share that light. Because that light, Jesus Christ, is the only hope we got. That light is not found in a politician. That light is not found in a governor or a president or a senator. That light is not found in a teacher or a professor. That light is not found in a spouse or a friend. That light is only found through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So let me ask you, do you have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ? If you don't, you don't have fellowship with God. You're at enmity with God. And the only way to solve that problem and to get out of darkness is by trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Baptism doesn't do it. Saying a little prayer doesn't do it. Filling out a card doesn't do it. You must trust Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If you say you have this fellowship and this established through the blood of Christ, and you've done that, but you're walking in darkness, you're a stinking liar. John didn't say that, but that's what he's meaning. If I say I have this fellowship established, but I walk in darkness, what am I? Oh, come on, I called you a stinking liar. If I've got this, I say, but I walk in darkness, what am I? A stinking liar. Does that make sense? Did I write that? No. So why do I care? I've got my salvation. That's all I should care. No. Because I love you. And I want you to have that joy. Let me show you one other verse here in 1 John. Go to chapter 5 real quick. I showed this to you last week, but maybe you didn't quite catch it. 1 John chapter 5. This is why John did it. This is why John wrote these words. And this is why I want to share this word with you. John says this. John chapter 5, verse number 13. John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Here's why I've done this, he says. "That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why.
If you're walking in fellowship and in light with God, you have eternal life. If you're walking in darkness, in the flesh, you do not have eternal life and you're damned to hell. So what's it going to be this morning? Are you going to walk in the light? Or are you going to walk in darkness? I can't choose it for you. You can't choose it for me. You choose it for yourself. Light or darkness? Flesh or spirit? Heaven or hell? Seems pretty simple to me. How about you? Well, Brother Brian, when I get old like you, then maybe I'll choose the light. Whew. Don't you dare. Because you ain't promised. I know it's not good English, but you aren't promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of walking in light. Now, Brother Brian, you've said some pretty mean things about other people. No, I haven't. Have I mentioned anybody's name? Have I called out any of... No. What are you going to do now? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How about you? You must choose today. Miss Shirley, if you'll come, please. 9/11 was a horrible, horrible event. Thousands of people died. And I saw a bunch of different memes this week in social media saying over 3,000 people went to bed, and when they woke up that morning, they didn't know they were going to die. That's truth. But did you know that that could happen to any single one of us, any single moment? Where did they go? Where did their soul go? I can't do nothing about them. But I can tell you, where's your soul going? And I tell you this because I want your joy to be full. I want you to have assurance of eternal life. Where are you going? Are you walking in light? Are you walking in darkness? You want fellowship with God? Walk in light. Walk in light this morning. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. I am not calling for an emotional response, but I am begging you this morning, if you're walking in darkness, would you please come to the light of Jesus Christ? If you're claiming Christianity as your Savior, Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you're walking in darkness, may I beg you, come to the light. That's all there is. That's the only hope. That's the only hope there is. He'll forgive you and cleanse you, and we'll talk about that more next week. Come to Jesus today. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know the needs. Lord, I want to ask you right now if there's any precious soul in this very room at this very moment, maybe listening via the internet. If there's anybody that does not have fellowship with you through Jesus Christ, may today be that day. May they place their faith in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. If there's any Christian in here or via the internet who's listening that is not walking in light but walking in darkness, may you change them today and cause them to come back to you. The time is drawing near when that decision is not going to be made again. Please, God, you do the work. Let us walk in the light and manifest your glory. In Christ's name. Heavenly Father, please. We love you and thank you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You do business with God now. You need to come up. I'm here for you. Surrender for baptism, join the church, whatever you need. I invite you to come. I invite you to come right now. Won't you come?